Thank you, Brother Cheatham, for playing with us and blessing us with your music of the clarinet this morning. What a beautiful several songs he's chosen to play for us. And thank you, Carl, for being with us in worship to share with us and remind us of the mission and the ministry of Motown Mission. Truly incredible work is being done down in the city of Detroit. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. Our message this morning, our scripture passage this morning, comes from Luke's Gospel. I'll be asking you to turn in scriptures if you would like to follow along. We'll be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, as I read verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, and a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he knew he was going to be passing by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried on down and he was very happy to welcome him. And all who saw him began to grumble and they said, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there. And he said to the Lord, "Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me now for a moment? Most loving and gracious God, in the moments of worship today, we have felt your presence. You have spoken to us through the beauty of music. You have called out to us in prayer and peacefully whispered to us as we've calmed our hearts for silent prayer. You've greeted us through the warm embrace of other Christian brothers and sisters today. You've spoken to us through the working of mission and reminding us of the amazing ministries that are taking place in Detroit. So God, now we ask that you would continue to speak through us in the service of worship. Now speak to us, Lord, through the words of Scripture. May your presence be felt, Lord, today as you encourage us to be faithful disciples of Christ. So God, now may the meditations of my heart and all of our hearts gathered here this day be pleasing in your sight, Lord. You, Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's scripture passage narrates the story of a man named Zacchaeus. And to really to summarize the story, he climbs a tree overlooking a great crowd in order to get a glimpse of Jesus as he's passing through Jericho. And when he encounters Jesus from the branches of the sycamore tree, he defends himself against the crowd as Jesus has requested a visit to his home. And us readers, when we approach this biblical text, we learn that we can only read about Zacchaeus' story from Luke's gospel. It's not mentioned in any of the other gospels. And after we encounter Jesus and Zacchaeus and read this story, Zacchaeus is never mentioned again in the scriptures. Did you know that? But even though we never learn of Zacchaeus again throughout the scriptures, even though he's never graces the pages of any other pericope that we might read in the Bible, he certainly is a very noteworthy disciple. He is a very noteworthy disciple of Christ. A noteworthy story for us to dig into this morning. Well, this summer in July and August, we're doing a sermon series of duets from the Bible. You notice I don't have a companion doing the duet with me like Gary and Lori have been doing, but there's certainly a dialogue, a duet, that something quite fascinating takes place between Jesus and Zacchaeus. This passage is a powerful story of this transforming grace of God that works in his life and works in all of our lives. And it's a powerful story of a call to a Christian community to be welcoming and loving and inclusive of all of God's children. And so Zacchaeus' story leaves us with a profound impact and a profound impression on all of us this morning and challenges a few of our attitudes, perhaps. So let's now take a look at who this interesting character, Zacchaeus, truly is. So by profession, he is a chief tax collector. Now, chief tax collectors, were entrepreneurs contracted by Roman officials. They were contracted to collect taxes and tolls and different custom fees in any given area. And so this chief tax collector profession, such as Zacchaeus, would in advance pay a contracted sum of money to the Roman officials, and then he would hire other tax collectors below him to go out and then collect all of the money. But in order to make a living and to make a personal investment, to make a personal profit, he would, of course, take a few extra pennies from their pockets and make sure that they get put in his. I learned this week in doing a little bit of research that there were typically two types of taxes that Rome collected. So there were these indirect taxes and there were these direct taxes. So the Roman officials were in charge of collecting these direct taxes. They were the most common stuff. There were things that were collected like on agricultural produce and stuff like that. And they were maybe like 12.5% tax on those types of goods. But Zacchaeus and other chief tax collectors were in charge of the indirect taxes. So they were placing taxes on port fees and custom fees and any goods that were shipped in and out and transported in and out of any given area. Now, these would have a much higher rate, so they like to tax them at about 25%. They like to put a few more pennies in their pocket. I also want to point out that this dialogue duet between Jesus and Zacchaeus takes place in Jericho. Now, Jericho was a big city on the border of Judea. And because it was on the border, it was really this great ideal location for Zacchaeus to strategically be located because he could collect those port fees and all of these different taxes and these custom fees as people are going in and out. So it's no surprise that we find Zacchaeus in a tree in Jericho. It was part of his profession to really be located in that area. So it's a key location. Now, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, a chief tax collector was certainly a wealthy position. It was someone that could, in this position, could gain incredible wealth. Why? Because he was taking extra pennies out of people's pocket and putting them in them, and in his. And it required him taking advantage of other people in order to make a profit. And so every time a tax was required, Zacchaeus needed to take advantage of people. And so we're introduced to Zacchaeus in the story, and he's clearly introduced, I guess you could say, as a villain. You know, we're introduced with him by first his name, then we learn he's rich and that he's a tax collector. So anybody reading the story can see that he's the foil character. He's the villain character for us, if we will, this morning. Now, he's also introduced as this villain character because he would have interacted with the Roman Gentiles and he would have been considered unclean. You can think with me for a moment. He would have to have interacted with all sorts of people that would have been unclean in order to manage his work. And if you can also remember for a moment, remaining clean and remaining pure was a really important part of the Jewish tradition. And when someone became unclean, it was required that they go through a purification process and go through a cleansing ritual process in order to become clean again, so that they could go into worship in the temple and that they would be able to interact with others. So for example, if someone was unclean, they would become unclean by, say, interacting with a dead body if someone had passed. Or they might become unclean if they've touched certain dead animals or interacted with certain food that was considered unclean. Even a woman who was menstruating was considered unclean, or a person with leprosy was considered unclean. So there were a variety of hosts of different things and opportunities for people to be considered unclean. And there's this extensive list in Leviticus and Numbers if you want to do a little bit more reading. It's great reading, I can tell you that. But basically, it was important for people to remain clean and go through this process of purification right away if they become unclean. Well, when we read about Zacchaeus, we quickly learn that he's despised probably for being unclean. He's despised certainly for having great wealth. He's despised for being a tax collector. So this clearly makes Zacchaeus labeled a sinner. And we could also add the label of an outcast to him. He has this very interesting backstory if we dig this a little bit deeper and understand truly who he is. So after we've been introduced to Zacchaeus in this passage, the passage says that he wanted to go out and see Jesus. But because he was short in stature, he wasn't able to see him, so he goes ahead and runs on ahead and climbs a tree overseeing the crowd to get a glimpse of Jesus. Now, to me, it appears that Zacchaeus is this great problem solver. He can't see Jesus. He climbs the tree. That's the way to solve the problem. He wants to seek the proper elevation. But you should also remember that because he's a sinner or an outcast, the crowd didn't want to be near him. They didn't want him near him at all. So perhaps he was short in stature because of his moral character, or perhaps he was short in stature because he truly was short in height. But for whatever reason, short in stature or of moral character or short in height, he decides to go to this tree. Now, it's easy to gloss over these details of him running ahead and climbing a tree, but I want to pause for a moment and point this out to you. Unlike today, where many people are, you know, involve marathons or do running or physical activity, I was reading a little bit this week and I found out that it really would have been undignified for a grown man to run. Now, we could probably guess that about a tree, but we can't gloss over these details because it was really undignified for a grown man to go ahead and run in search of this tree. You know, most people are leaving their tree climbing days to their childhood, but he doesn't. And so by running and climbing this tree, he's really embarrassing himself. We can't be so quick to pass over this. He's really kind of embarrassing himself by this behavior. I think certainly the crowd must have been laughing even about what he was choosing to do. But Zacchaeus really wasn't concerned about how the crowd chose to view him. His primary concern was just seeking after Jesus. So I think at this point in the scripture, I think we need to stop, and I want to make you really soak that in for a moment. You know, maybe at what length are you willing to go in order to experience Jesus? You know, perhaps there's this note from him that we need to take. Are we willing to seek after Jesus, perhaps for whatever cost? Are you willing to seek after God? And metaphorically speaking, are you willing to run and climb those trees? You know, too often in our society, we worry about what other people think of us. At least in middle school and high school, we do that. But I think too often in society, even as adults, we're constantly worrying about the judgment of other people. But Zacchaeus is willing to place those judgments aside just to simply seek after Jesus. So are you willing to seek after God as well? I just want to throw in that note, that moment for you to really think about that. So let's get back to the story. So when Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, he's sitting in the sycamore tree, a large tree with low-hanging branches, so it would have been perfect for climbing trees. So he's in these branches, and Jesus calls out to him, saying, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Now you would think that Zacchaeus has absolutely just won the lottery, because everyone among that crowd would have loved to have had an invitation. An invitation for Jesus to stay at their house. And you would also think that Zacchaeus was going after this crowd with pitchforks and curse words and daggers or something, because all that the crowd gave him was a response of grumbling and a response of complaining. And you know exactly why they were grumbling and complaining. You know why they were upset, because he was this wealthy chief tax collector, labeled a sinner and labeled an outcast. So he was this dirty, rotten scoundrel that had cheated them, and he was not worthy at all to break bread with Jesus or to open his home up to Jesus. I mean, really, how dare Zacchaeus have the privilege of hosting Jesus at his home? How dare he do that? Well, we know that time and time again, Jesus always associates with the people that he's not supposed to. He was always showing compassion and love, even friendship and loyalty to people that were identified as these sinners and these outcasts. He always welcomed the poor. He associated it and reached out to the people that were needing healing. He welcomed the children. He embraced the Samaritans, even the tax collectors. Jesus was always coloring outside of the lines and doing that which he was not supposed to do. I was reading about a theologian this week who said that Jesus is always welcoming the wrong people and confounding the good, righteous people. He's always welcoming those wrong people. And if Jesus had been like the Pharisees, the self-righteous and pompous, then Jesus probably would have just walked right by him. But Jesus doesn't walk right past Zacchaeus. He requests a visit to his home. Now, I want to have us take seriously for a moment this request. And this is another detail of the story that we can't gloss over very quickly. Because through this request, Jesus is really bringing honor to Zacchaeus. Any time that Jesus dined with somebody or associated with somebody or was welcomed into their home, great honor really was restored to that person. He was taking this sinner and this terrible chief tax collector and bringing him dignity and respect. He was bringing humanity back to him again. And any time anyone was labeled less than, and Jesus reached out to them, they were no longer pushed to the fringes of society, for Jesus was extending God's love and God's grace to that person. We need to recognize what Jesus is doing here. He's sharing God's grace. He's sharing God's love with this tax collector, someone that society believes isn't really deserving of God's love. And that's a powerful moment in the story. And even though Jesus extends this grace and dignity and requests Zacchaeus to stay with him, most people would think that this passage presents Jesus, Zacchaeus, still in this dim light. He still is really presented in a dim light until we have a chance to hear from him. So what does he say? Zacchaeus says, look, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay him back four times as much. You see that? Zacchaeus is becoming a new person. Zacchaeus is making amends for the wrongs that he has done. He's following the strictest of Old Testament guidelines, paying back those who he has wronged. He's willing to be generous, not pay back just the minimal. He's willing to be generous. He's willing to go the second mile. Zacchaeus isn't taking the easy way out. He's willing to pay back four times as much that he owed. He's willing to take responsibility for his actions. He's willing to right all the wrongs that he's done. He's willing to turn his life around and become a new person and live a life of charity and live a life of righteousness. And why? Because he's experienced this love of God, this transforming love and grace of God. And from this transforming experience, his heart is warmed, and therefore his actions and his life is going to be able to start reflecting that. He's experienced the grace of God so much in his life that he's willing to run and climb a tree just in order to keep seeking after God. He's experienced this grace in his life that even the crowd around has got to be in awe of. He's a sinner and outcast that's experienced this transforming grace of God. But I'm sure as the crowd was gathered around, I'm sure they really struggled with what he was saying and how Jesus was responding, because I think they prefer to limit who God loves and the grace that extended to certain people. I'm sure they prefer to limit that. They prefer to limit it, extending God's love and grace to certain people in certain times and certain places, but that's not how God operates, is it? God's an extravagant God, having grace and love abounding for us all, sinners and tax collectors, women and men and children and Samaritans, Michiganders and Michigan State fans and Michigan fans. We're all recipients of this. God loves us, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it. And so Jesus is modeling this extravagant gift through his interactions with Zacchaeus. And Jesus is challenging all those gathered around in the crowd nearby. He's challenging them, saying, you cannot limit God's love for anyone. So when we read this story, we realize that we are the Zacchaeus in the story. We are the ones that are oftentimes in need of God's transforming grace. And guess what? God's opening God's arms up to us, wanting to extend that love. But when we also read this story of Zacchaeus, we realize that we're also the crowd snickering in the background and mumbling. We realize that this story can challenge our own attitudes and our own judgments. It makes us reflect upon our own behaviors and our own beliefs, calling us into question if we try to limit God's love for others. Friends, we are amazed at the story. I hope you are. I am. I hope you are amazed at the story. Because Zacchaeus is someone who we meet only in the Bible once, but he's somebody who's truly unforgivable. Unforgettable. He's a tax collector and a sinner who profited off the backs of others, but he's received this transforming, amazing love and grace of God to become a new man with a changed heart. And in Zacchaeus, we can see ourselves, admitting that sometimes we don't always get it right, but we're always forgiven. And in the crowd, we can also see ourselves, reminding us that sometimes we place those hard judgments, but God loves us anyway. So thanks be to God for the Zacchaeus in the story and the Zacchaeus in us. And thanks be to God for the crowd and realizing that sometimes we're the crowd too. Because we are all a beloved child of God, both Zacchaeus and the crowd. Thanks be to God for God's grace. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.